Behind places and faces.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Behind Places and Faces. I am Neja and Ni Hao. No, Hao.
That's right. Yeah.
Again. Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Behind Places and Faces. I am Neja, and Ni Hao. I have another person in here today, and this is Kun Ying, my really important person, my VIP.
Zhuyo, everyone. Dobro jutro, dobro den. Kun. I live in Wellington, New Zealand, and I'm originally from China. Yeah.
Mm. And I just said that you're a really important person because you are the reason that I have this na 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 behind places and faces. Okay, I totally did it wrong.
What's going on? did you just added like a drunk filter to your voice?
I think that this is a little bit of a hangover from yesterday Halloween party, you know.
Yeah, I can tell.
But for everyone, I think we need to start this episode with a story how this podcast and the intro music actually, how this was born. Because I was staying in Wellington in lockdown with Kun and Matt. Hi, Matt, if you're listening. And I was looking all day because they were both working and they were like, okay, I'm going to work too. I was dreaming about a podcast for so long and I have opportunity now to do it. And I was looking for intro music, looking. And then Kun one time came down for lunch and I was like, Kun, I really don't know what to put in my intro music. Is this cool? And he was like, you're singing all the time, just record something. And I was like, no. And he was like, go and try. And I actually went down in the basement and I tried. And after 15 minutes, I was like, Kun, I made something. Listen to this. And he was like, oh, yeah, see, that's cool. That's you. And that's it. And that's how intro music was born. Thank you.
It doesn't sound inspirational at all. Like, well, the my side of the story was, yes, Neja was spending the whole day literally looking for the right intro music for her very famous podcast now. And I was just like, look, girl, you are a singer. You have beautiful voice. Why don't you do a cappella of yourself, right? People will love you. That's who you are. Not a random music clip from a random person online, right? Yeah, I'm really glad it came out, you know, so beautifully. Yeah, it really shows who you are, you know, a beautiful person with a beautiful voice.
Yeah. Stop it! I miss you too. No, that's true, and it's amazing how you two pushed me, and I am here where I am, and I'm still learning. But that is the part of the process. So thank you. That's love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is just a game. Kun Ying, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Actually, today was the first day that I put my shorts on and I was walking around in the swimming tucks and it's summer, people, it's summer. So I'm really good. How is Wellington?
Wellington is great. I mean, before I talk about my life, I'm surprised you finally put some clothes on. I don't remember you put any clothes on when you were staying with us in Wellington. During the second lockdown. Something like that.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I was so spoiled. I gained some weight because of your food. And
oh, come on, don't blame it on me.
Yeah, I'm still grateful for that. But who are you? Who is Kun Ying? How would you describe yourself?
Oh, hi. Dovlo Yuto, Dovlo Den. I'm not sure where are you and what time when you're listening to this. I'm Kun, originally from China, from the north, and I've been living in New Zealand for almost 4 years now. 3 years and a half, yeah. First came here, like Nasia, I was here on the working holiday visa for about a year. That was right after my first year into my master program back in China. I was so done with studying and I feel like I seriously need a break. After looked around on the internet, New Zealand seems like a very appealing choice to me. I could be, you know, making decent money and traveling at the same time instead of creating a financial burden for my family. That's why I was here initially, and I quite liked it after a year. And then five months before my visa expired, I met this beautiful man from Slovenia. And I decided to come back, give this relationship a go. Yeah, but yeah, that's about me and a bit of a background knowledge.
I was the same when I was looking where to go, New Zealand, Australia, Canada. This working holiday is really good because you can work and travel. And then you mentioned love. I actually invited you because in the lockdown we were talking about love and relationship, and I was listening like with open eyes because you have some really good stories, and not just stories, but...
Oh, come on, you made me sound like a slut.
No, I didn't mean that. Well, let's not go there. But that's why I decided I wanted to invite you, because we had a really good conversation about how we see dating and love and some cultural differences and how communication is important. And yeah, just every time we were cooking, we opened something new. So because we were cooking a lot, that was quite a common conversation, I would say.
Yeah, just man, it's just like food. Can't have enough.
No. I don't know where you put everything, but fine. But before we go and dig more into the love and relationship and dating, I want to know about your traveling stories. We have a holy guacamole section where I usually share something funny or someone else's story, what happened on the travelings, or might be something scary or just like cute. So do you have any traveling stories that you could share?
May I share two instead of one?
Please do.
Ha ha ha, holy guacamole.
All right, so my first story is about my first encounter of marijuana. Are we allowed to talk about weed here?
No, we don't talk about sex, we don't talk about weed, we don't... Of course you can. Go in it.
Sure. Yes, marijuana.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my very first proper trip overseas was to the States. I was doing this 6 weeks long summer holiday at UC Berkeley, and during this 6 weeks time, I signed myself up for two road trips, one to Yosemite and National Park, and the other one to LA. And I was, you know, really new, like fresh off the boat. was really curious about everything in the States. I just briefly talked about me coming from China, our perspective towards drugs, like even drugs like marijuana would be a really taboo topic, and people could seriously, you know, get trouble. Meaning if you're using marijuana, you'll for sure be put into prison. And if you are selling marijuana or any other drugs, you might end up having a death sentence.
Oh my God.
Based on the amount of drugs you are selling. But anyways, so coming back to my travel story. So 2 weeks later, nothing happened, right? It was time for my second road trip to LA. And this tour guide is from the same company, like the one who took us to Yosemite. But I had no idea until this guy introduced him to me that he's the partner of the previous tour guide, the lovely lady who took us to Yosemite. And we were supposed to be going to the Universal Studio in LA or Disneyland. And but I was like, I'm done with amusement parks. I'm keen to know like how a local would, you know, spend their holiday in LA. So instead of going to the amusement park, I took the whole afternoon off, went to a bar with this Hispanic, half Mexican, half American. That sounds a bit racist, but yeah. So a Hispanic heritage tour guide. And he started to ask me a question. Do you want to try marijuana? I'm like, what? Where did you get this idea from? And he was like, oh, my wife was mentioning this to me and seems like it's you're quite interesting to this. I'm like, I'm not. This is very dangerous. I don't want to end up in jail. And he was like, oh, it's okay. We're in the States. It's legal here. Is it illegal in California already? I'm not sure. But anyway, he got his marijuana like prescribed.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, instead of for recreational reason. And I tried marijuana for the very first time from this lovely tour guide. And yeah, it was a mixed feeling, you know. On one hand, I was like, oh, now I'm the cool kid. You know, have something to brag about to my friends back home. Look, I've tried marijuana and I'm fine, right? Yeah, but at the same time, I'm worried. Like, I don't know how my body would take it. But at the end, I just got really like hangry and at the end of the day, a bit sleepy. And that's pretty much it. I guess he was quite a responsible tour guide. He didn't give me too much. Yeah, it was manageable. Yeah, that's my first story, first encounter of marijuana in the States.
Oh, I was waiting, like, that you did something stupid. Yeah, I was like, okay, and you took it and then something stupid. You were climbing the sign of the Hollywood? No? Okay, fine.
No, I didn't. Yeah, yeah, that sounds a bit stupid, but I was...
It probably, you felt so, if it's such a taboo back home, of course you have, you're thinking, oh my God, I can't do this. Why, if someone catch me, like it's the feeling how much we are, no, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. You don't have the courage to try things. And yeah.
Yes, definitely. Also, yeah, back at home, the number one thing we know about drugs is get you addicted to it.
Mm.
And then you won't be yourself anymore. Yeah. But I guess, I mean, I never tried any other hardcore drugs. I would say this experience do help me to understand why marijuana are legalized in some part of the world. It's an eye-opening experience, yeah. And also I would say from my own experience, if it's, you know, if you do have a hard time to fall asleep and marijuana would be a way to help you to achieve that. Why not, right? If that's what your doctor prescribe you.
Or you have
But I'm not doing it or anything. I'm just saying.
Are you sure?
Well, come on, with my salary, I couldn't afford it.
What about the second story?
Oh, the second story is a happy memory. It's about my favorite trip to Europe as, you know, purely a solo traveler. I had less than 24 hours layover at Riga, Latvia, about 3 years ago. And before I booked the ticket, I didn't realize I was arriving on the day of probably the biggest holiday after Christmas in the country, the Midsummer Festival, all right? I mean, on my way to Latvia, to Riga, I was already, you know, having a really good impression of the country. I was taking this budget airline called Air Baltic. So I was ordering some food, and at the end, the FPOS machine didn't want to take my credit card. I had my New Zealand ones and I had my Chinese ones. None of them worked. And at the end, they offered me free food pretty much. So from that moment, I'm like, oh, people from Latvia are nice. And once the plane touched down, I was waiting for the bus at the in front of the airport. It's a relatively small one. And while I was going to, you know, pay for my bus ticket, the bus driver was like, oh, today is a public holiday. It's free. Like, okay, why not? So about half an hour later, I arrived at the hostel I was staying in, the old town of Riga. And the receptionist was like, oh, welcome. Do you want to have a few shots? You know, we have the famous Riga Black liquor. It helps to warm you up. I'm like, sure, why not? So before I even got my room key, I already had two shots from the receptionist. Yeah. And after that, he pointed to a giant table, you know, just next to the kitchen. And there was leftover buffet. But, you know, even the leftover are quite decent. Got heaps of sausages, fruit, and all different type of, like, food. And he was like, help yourself. I mean, you know, it's a hostel. I probably only paid a good 20 euro or something like that, 20, 30 euro for the night. But then I feel like this country is like...
giving you everything for free.
Yeah, and I don't understand. But yeah, I had really good experience that. And then that's not the end of my free ride in...
Oh, there's more.
In Latvia. Yeah, there's more. So the next day, I joined this free, you know, tour around Riga city. I mean, later I realized people do tip the tour guide at the end. But silly me, I didn't bring any cash or anything. But I had this random, like a $5 RMB bill from home with you know, the famous mountain from my hometown, you know, to keep reminding me of my family. And at the end, I give this 5 RMB, which equals to probably 80 cents euro to this guy. I mean, I didn't mean to be stingy. I just didn't have
any
cash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all know these backpacking games.
Yeah. But anyways, I missed out on the huge part of how amazing the whole night went. Like, people were literally just, you know, singing and dancing. Of course, drinking along the river, literally for the whole night.
Oh.
Yeah. And I managed to, you know, have a close encounter of the most beautiful bonfire. Is that how you call it? You know, those high stack of timbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was probably 5, 6, 7 meters tall.
Nice.
Yeah, and the flames are so beautiful. In the middle of the night.
Nice. Yeah.
So if you ask me where's my favorite place in Europe, without a doubt, Riga. And Ljubljana would have to come to the second. No offense.
Yeah, amazing. You have nice stories.
I don't hate a single second of my time in Riga. I don't have the same experience in any other city, any other places in the world, not even in my hometown. Definitely love it.
Thank you for Holy Guacamole. And now I have some more serious questions for you. Because we were talking the last episode about love, my first question is, what do you think about the word love? What is love for you?
Oh, wow. It is a tough question. It's quite a philosophical question to begin with. I would say after living overseas for more than 3 years now, and because of COVID and all the travel restrictions, I haven't been able to, you know, meet my family face to face for almost 2 years now. My first layer of understanding for love would be my love and support from my family. It's in my blood. It's one of the most valuable thing my Chinese heritage is bringing and keep bringing to my life. Just value your family and value the people who brought you into this world and help you to grow into who you are. Yeah. So what I do now is I make sure I FaceTime my family, especially my little sister. She's 14 years old. My mom, pretty much on a daily basis to check up on them if they're okay, and also to make sure my little sister will still remember, you know, she got a brother. Oh. I remember how I look like. Yeah. That's why even I'm going to be having a 4 weeks holiday during Christmas time. I can't really go back to China. Like both New Zealand and China are having quite strict, you know, restrictions compared with the rest of the world. New Zealand is now loosening it up a bit from 2 weeks MRQ, you know, quarantine into a week plus 3 days and at home, stay at home. While in China, it's like 2 weeks quarantine at the city. You enter the country. On top of that, you'd be doing at least another 2 weeks at home. So which means if I don't get more than 6 weeks holidays, I won't even be able to, you know, see my family in person. That's really sad. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And yes, and second, love, love yourself, right? Like, especially when you are living overseas, and at the very first stage when I was traveling on my own, and I do think it is important to love yourself. It's not cheeky at all. It is the very first lesson you should learn, you know, when you travel by yourself. You don't do too crazy things that would make yourself regret or not be able to regret because you won't be in the world anymore. You know, like doing too much drugs or drinking and then end up losing your life. But that's very extreme scenarios. But yeah, I do think taking care of yourself, looking after yourself, it's taken a big chunk of my understanding for the word love.
Nice. And I'm not going to tell Matt that you didn't even mention him.
No, finally, love in romantic relationships, of course, yeah. But I won't, like, talk too much about this yet, since we're going to talk about my dating life, right? And dating as a gay Asian in New Zealand. I will leave this part to your next couple of questions.
Mm. Actually, now that you mention, you said gay Asian. Yeah, what is your actually story?
Well, I'd say whether you are gay or straight, we are born this way.
Definitely.
And I did realize my sexual orientation at a quite early age. I probably say age of 9-10 years old, yeah, while still in primary school. It's probably quite cliche, but I always find, you know, the the topless masculine guy on the package of underwear really appealing, you know. Yeah, every time when I go to a department store, I, you know, wander around to have another look. By that time, I probably don't know what is a, you know, attraction to someone or how, you know, gay relationship works, it was just simply me appreciating something beautiful. Simple as that.
Mm. How is it when you said a gay Asian, how is the being, how is this accepted actually in China or in general, maybe in Asia?
Well, I say I don't have other, you know, life experiences in other Asian countries apart from mainland China and Taiwan. But I would say, yes, in general, it is more on the conservative side compared with most of the Western countries. However, as I would say, for my generation, it's not a big issue. Like, not a single friend or person I met in my uni, all those people in their 20s had a problem with me being gay. The pressure is still more from the older generation, like, you know, our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation. For some of them, it's still something considered to be something shameful, yeah. Something dirty, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when we were talking, I was like, oh yeah, you mean normal couples, and you were like, excuse me? And
I was like, what is normal? What do you mean?
Yeah, and I was like,
how dare you?
Exactly. I was like, I shocked myself because I didn't even hear it. But when you put it back to me, I was like, oh, whoa. And I think, yeah, like you said, it's quite of a, also in Slovenia, quite, it's getting better with you, like every year. But I think I was reading one article about life in Asia that you, since you are in like child, you are working hard, you're studying hard, you don't date, you are focusing on education because then you're gonna get married, you're gonna have a job, and then you're gonna take care of the other family members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that maybe also because of this traditional way of living?
Well, again, I don't think I'm in the position to talk about Asian or Asia in general.
Yeah,
from a specific part of China, and China is a massive country already.
Yeah,
my experience doesn't even reflect on my peers' experience who are coming from the different part of China. Yeah. I would say my province, Shandong, is in the north of China. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere in between Beijing and Shanghai. If you look at the map and find where the Korean Peninsula is, it's another peninsula a little bit on the south. And yeah, and I'm from that region. And in my region, another cultural note, Confucius is from my province. So our cultural value is very traditional and very heavily impacted by Confucius thinking and ideology.
What, for the people who doesn't know what it is, how you would shortly describe the values and ideology behind it?
Well, I'll say, like, again, I would say your personal value gain should be based on, you know, a common good for your family and your community and even the whole country, rather than, you know, only for your personal gain. Mm-hmm. It's quite the opposite of individualism, yeah. And maybe nowadays it's also add up with the new concept and the new values modern Chinese have, like, even in Ljubljana, University of Ljubljana has won a Confucius institution, and the reason why we name after, why the, not we, I mean, I don't have, I'm not one of the CCP members who could make decisions. I'm just saying, from the constitution named after this famous person from China, you could tell how important it is. Like how his ideology shaped the whole way of thinking. So pretty much, yeah, your community, your family's honor is always more important than your personal gain. Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. Did you date like through the apps, or you were just meeting people and that's how everything started?
Well, I say it's really interesting. The very first time I started dating was not too long after smartphone was, you know, available to us. We are the first generation of smartphone user, right?
Which year was that?
Yeah, so anyways, like my very first gay dating experience started from dating apps called Grand, it was Jack D. It's a different app back then. And I think that's one of the common things for, you know, gay dating life. Either you are in China or in New Zealand, the dating app is still the most important way to, the most dominant way to meet new people, to find your whole or me.
No, but would you say that you felt more free to enjoy dating life in New Zealand or back home?
Well, I probably won't use the word free. It's more like just I won't worry that much. First, I'm in a completely different country. I don't have to worry about, you know, end up dating someone who knows my friend, who knows a family friend, right? And that's, I'm still like in the closet. I'm not out to most of my family friends or family apart from my mom. And
When you date in New Zealand, no one knows you and you don't have anyone like, oh, someone is looking like behind my back. What am I doing?
Yeah. So it's not the so-called free or, you know, I would call it carefree. It's more like more from the fact I'm away from home instead of me in New Zealand. Yeah. But I do pick up on one quite interesting thing. I would say in general, people here on the dating apps will be more open in a way. They are not afraid to share their pictures on the dating app. Like back in China, it's really rare to see someone putting their face in the app. It's not very common. I would say probably 1 out of 10 would actually have a picture of themselves.
But how can you know the person who you're dating if you don't have your picture?
I mean, then you ask, right? You ask the person to send you pictures after, you know, a few exchange of words. Yeah.
Oh, this is...
However, in New Zealand or even in the States when I was using dating apps, I feel like because people care less about your orientation or worry less about their family and friend knowing they're gay, then ultimately became more open to show their true self online in the virtual world.
Interesting.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah. I never saw how, like, probably you said that you were using Grindr?
Grindr is still the most popular app.
Any funny stories from dating?
Yes, I do. Maybe, do you have another 3 hours? The best memory is always when you end up having meet up with a guy who you have a mutual, when you find the attraction either on, you know, physical level and mental level are really matching a mutual, that's the most beautiful part of it. And that's what happened between me and Matt. But I would say in the dating stage, hook up and mess around stage, having mutual attraction is quite crucial. It's a base of, it's like a good start point of everything. Either a good one night stand or a good summer, you know, fling, or even, you know, your future partner.
Yeah, that's true.
And one interesting thing I would say is 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, when I was still using dating apps in New Zealand, guys, you can find Grindr in New Zealand is very much diverse. So you have, apart from all the locals here living in Wellington, living in New Zealand, you also got heaps of people coming and goes, right? Backpackers like ourselves.
So did you meet Matt through the app or?
Me and Matt? Yes, yeah. We did meet through the app, through Grindr, yes.
Did you super liked him?
You can't, you know, super like anyone. I'm not that superficial. You can't be like looking into one single picture and decide you are, you know, you decide to super like this person, you know, without even hearing his voice. Yeah.
Hmm. So yeah, I have a question. You found met on an app, and then you are from two different, basically Slovenia, China. How do you now, like, did you have any things that you had to get used to it when you were dating, or like now when you're living together, but for how long now? 2 years?
More than 3 years.
More than 3 years.
So from New Zealand, like from a legal perspective, we have no difference compared with any other married couples. To answer your question, we're not that different. We all grew up in socialist countries, right? Yes, he was born before Slovenia gained independence from Yugoslavia. Yeah, but that's not the most important thing. I tend to say, like, we are now living in a quite globalized world. I don't think culture or age played that a huge part in dating all the time. I mean, for us, it was quite natural. I found the attraction was mutual, and we had a great conversation. I mean, a great conversation lasted five hours.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, we started in my kitchen and ended in his bed. But just very innocent night. We were watching a Lord of Rings, and I fell asleep after 15 minutes. My bad. Like, none of us was trying to hold it back or, you know, to plan anything ahead. Just everything happened very naturally. Yeah, I feel like it's not about your age. It's not about the culture you grew up in. It's more about at that moment how much of a common ground you can find. And
when
when the attraction are quite compatible, like you were using the word super like, right? I don't think super like is always the accurate one. It's like when your attraction level are matching, then you would have the motivation to keep going forward on both sides, right? Quite equally. And that's how a healthy relationship or a dating life could grow from. If A is super liking B and B is just like B, I don't think things would go well in the long run. At some stage, they would have to match the liking level, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. Relationships are, if you don't learn and grow together, like both-sided, it's going to be a point when you're going to grow apart. So yeah, if you don't push and you don't water each other. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like the attraction level, on the first sight should be compatible. That's important to have things go any further. But even after you enter a relationship or a stabilized relationship, you might still want to grow and develop together. It's not nice to make one person feel like you are dragging them down or they are dragging you down, right?
You mentioned that you gave it a go, that you went home and then you came back. If this was the main reason that you came back and then you decided to make a life here, or?
I would say at that stage, although I quit my master program back in China, I still wanted to have a master degree. It's not for anyone else. I wanted one. I just wasn't sure where to do it. So Matt gave me a good reason to come back to New Zealand I'm not only coming back for him. I came back to first achieve my own life goal, right? I wanted this master degree. On top of that provide me opportunities to develop this relationship a bit further and see how things goes, right? And that doesn't hurt. Also, people might be curious about, you know, the legal status of living in foreign countries, right? Like, I know some people who, you know, staying here on a partnership visa, you know, meaning legal status in the country is depend on their partner. However, I feel like that's ultimately would put you into a different position. You won't be equals anymore. If your presence in the country is dependent on your partner, it's out of the courtesy of your partner, it's not counterpart, it's not healthy. That's why I decided to come back on the student visa, and which allow me to apply for a 3 years work visa after I graduate. So I think 4 years is more than enough for me to figure out what do I want, right?
Yeah.
And or if this relationship is worth it, yeah. And at the same time, I don't have to worry about my, legal status here. I'm here on my own. I'm not here mostly for you or because of you, yeah.
Yeah, depending. Yeah, everyone is asking me, where is my Kiwi future husband that I can get a visa?
Duh. Well, yes, it's a good question worth asking. Who is this lucky boy, if you are still straight, just to double check?
I am.
Would be lucky enough to be, a son-in-law like myself of Slovenia. And
yeah, dreams. I reinstall all the dating apps, so I will let you know in the future what is happening, okay? I'll update you.
Yes, please.
No, but you mentioned something really important that we didn't touch it, but law here in New Zealand is, if I understood right, if you live with a partner for 2 years, it's the same as you would be...
More than 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, if you... and your partner share the same household and being together for 3 years, then from a legal perspective, you guys are already almost like married. Yeah. Meaning everything, all your property, all your, on the financial side, you guys would be 50-50 for everything unless you sign some prenup.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Well...
yeah, find yourself a Croatian boy own a winery here and marry into the winery family. In 3 years' time, you own half of the winery.
So I have to stick 3 years. Oh my God, I'm just going to build something for myself and I'm going to be independent. No, but yes. You said so nicely, having sorted things out because not depending on someone is kind of a self-love.
Definitely. I was very lucky. I managed to save up some money for a master program here in New Zealand as an international student. By the way, the fee is like three times higher than a local student would end up paying. And my parents was really supportive as well. So I know I was lucky to have this option. It's not always an option for everyone. Because I do know people like... two backpackers fall in love with each other here, but then it's really tricky, when you only have a year. Most likely, when you met the person, there's less than a year time left for both of you in New Zealand. So how do you carry on with another backpacker? Going to each other's home country or trying to find a way to stay in New Zealand together? It's always tricky.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, not that I would know, but but I met quite a lot of backpackers that, they decided they stay here because they said like, okay, we are from two different countries. We can't decide yet where we want to live. So they stayed here, have a work visa, that they have their place where they met, where they fell in love. And at the same time, they're like, we're gonna go for year and live in your country then a year in your country. Nowadays it's so much easier to decide because the access and everything, like how can we travel, it's so much easier, like back then when you were like, okay, you're gonna stay here and you're gonna live here, you're gonna send letter to your family, and now you can basically are in touch all the time.
I do know people who are from the same country and then they went back to their home country together and continued their love story. The love story they started in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, for the ending, would you like to add anything important?
Well, tell me some typical stereotypes Slovenia have on Chinese. And what, you know, living with me for 4 weeks help you, you know, to have a second think of those stereotypes and, you know, what stereotypes are right and what are completely wrong.
Oh, this is the best thing what you just asked, because so if I start, you just wanted to actually push me to the conversation that we had at the top of the cliff when we were walking, when you wanted to push me down. No, I'm kidding.
You mean my car beach?
Yeah. Because I caught myself in a very racistic and generalizing position when I said to you, oh, look at you, Chinese people posing, like, and you were like, okay, Nisha, this is really offensive. This is, like, really racistic. And I didn't even think of it because you said to me, I if I would say, oh, typical Slovenian, I would be like, ha, 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 because we are so small and we are, don't take this, like, we're not offended by this. But when you explain me, Nisha, we have so many people in China that you can't say that this is typical Chinese. It's the one thing that like hit me, and I was like, oh my God, I'm a racist. I am a horrible human.
Don't you worry, you're still in Asia. You're not, Karen. You're not.
No, but that's one thing that you were like, don't generalize, like, don't put everything like, oh, typical Chinese, typical that, because we are such a big nation that we are so different. Like, every, like you said, one part of China is totally different to another part of China. And that's one thing. Then the thing that I said in the beginning, normal couple. What is normal? Like, what is, that was the other thing that I was also like shocked how I, it's not sounding, offensive or something in my head, but when it comes out and I saw your face, I was like, you are so mean. But then what is the thing that I learned living with you? You're always hungry and grumpy when you're hungry.
It's not a Chinese thing. That's just a Queen thing.
No, yeah, the Queen, yeah. That, no, but I thought when I met you that you didn't like me because you have this, you can put your bitchy face, but you don't, like, for example, when I was like, okay, if someone said like, oh, you're fat, you or something, you wouldn't mean it negatively, but positively, like, I'm take, like, I care about you. That's why I say these things to you. And my,
yeah, I've noticed the changes on you.
Yeah.
And you've been living a good life because you put on some weight.
Exactly. But when I heard it the first time, I was like, oh, that's really rude. What else? It's like, I learned so many things. Seriously. You had a really good sense of humor. You can be like a black, like very ironic person, and I love it. Yeah.
I invented bitchiness.
Oh, you did. Yes. But I think that those are like few things that I realize that I learn, and I will never forget those things. And I grew. Yeah, you see things differently. But I think that every month, every different nationality that I meet here and I see how they live, how the culture is, traditions, you learn to be more tolerant, open-minded, and you realize that when you put it out in the world with different people, you accept that you are different also in their eyes, and they're different to you. But at the same time, we do have same values, but we just maybe put them out differently, but still mean good. Like,
I don't have any stereotypes or knowledge of Slovenian.
Oh, yeah, you're living with one.
Yeah, but I don't get any from pop culture, right? or you know, any other Slovenian communities like in the Western world. Yeah, but I would say I think Slovenian people do value the food culture very much as well, based on my really superficial and shallow understanding of some of the European countries. I do think Slovenian is on the side of value food very much in everyday life. Yeah.
Homemade things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Very nice. I love how we put up nice things about each other, not just roasting each other all day.
Well, roasting each other is our way of showing our care and love to each other, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I always end up the episode with almost but nah. It's kind of what you gain or learn or something happened this week that you will take for your like a life lesson, or that, or maybe that you had a goal and you reach it and you're proud of it, grateful for it, and something that you maybe fail this week, or just you're like, oh, I'm gonna do this, but
One thing you mentioned about me earlier, I'm always hungry and I'm grumpy when I'm hungry. You know, I don't think I can see my abs anymore. So I decide to eat less.
So you're grumpy all the time?
I'm trying to be not grumpy and try to eat less. And because my fast metabolism, I could easily lose 2 kg, you know, being on diet for 3-4 days. By being on diet, I mean just to eat, you know, one less or two less times of snacks. Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
Oh, just to clarify to everyone, snacks in this house means, for example, for breakfast, some people have like cereal or maybe a piece of bread. No, we have, Kun have, I don't know, dumplings or soup, like proper soup with rice noodles and...
Yes, sometimes even, you know, a steak, leftover steak, why not?
Yeah, and that's why I came, like I rolled down the stairs when I left you in the lockdown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so this is kind of a
self-revelation, yeah. Mm. And also taking care of myself as well.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what I did for Halloween?
What?
I switch off the sensor, the speaker of the doorbell. So when the little monsters come drop by for candies, I would just ignore them. This is house of diabetes and there's no sugar in the house. No lollies.
You are the meanest human on this planet. Next time I'm going to go on and knock every 15 minutes on your door when I'm going to be in Wellington. Oh, that's not nice, Kun.
I am nice. Look, I'm donating like monthly to Wellington Children's Hospital, and having too much candy is not good for
health.
Either for their overall health, especially their oral health. Yeah.
Well, if you would be cool, you would do like a carrots, like a in a pumpkin shape or something, and you would be having a vitamin snacks.
Sure.
Kun, thank you so much for sharing the thoughts and sharing your story. I am actually really grateful that you opened to me and my listeners, because as you said, you didn't open yet to everyone close to you. So I'm really grateful, and I hope they're not gonna listen to the podcast to be shocked. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. One last thing. What do you... No, actually, I'm not going to ask you that.
Go ahead.
Which is your favorite love song from the musicals? Because you're a musical fan like me.
From musical? You are really a theater and a musical person. I'm not. I'm just, you know, audience watching all type of movies, including musical. But I would say recently my favorite music is from Adele, Easy on Me. There's no go in this river that I've been washing my hands in forever. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Continue. Thank you, Kun, so much. I love you and miss you and hope to see you soon. And all the listeners, you know the drill. Subscribe, follow, share, review. And don't forget to write some holy guacamole on Behind Places and Faces. See ya next week with Love Part 3. Bye!
Ciao.
Been washing my hands in forever. Do,
Behind Places and Faces.